and now to share his experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Noah.
Thank you. My name is Noah, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. I just want to thank Sydney for asking me to speak. People say that all the time. It's an honor and a privilege. I mean that, and I mean that specifically today to speak, because I had a day that where, like, I had a lot of fear about a lot of the different things that I was going into, all my activities. But the difference is that today I showed up for them, regardless of how I felt about it. You know, before I got into the program and before I got sober, I did not have the power to make that choice for myself. I did not have the power to show up to do anything. My life was completely unmanageable, with and without a drink or a drug. And it can be today if I continue to lead that life and not choose to access this power that I've been given freely in these rooms, you know, and that it's available to really anyone that's sitting here. So I'm really grateful to this program for giving me the option of and the life that I have today. You know, I don't want to, like, I've caught myself a lot in the past kind of, like, trying to sound good and make up, not lie, but just not tell them the honest, the real deal of exactly what I remember. Not only just to sound good and to be the man and to be cool, but really because, like, I am so self-centered that, like, a lot of times I have experiences and that I remember them differently than they occurred, because I just wasn't present when they were going on, you know, because I was so caught up in myself so much of the time. So I'm going to do my best to just keep it really simple about what I was like, what happened that got me here, and what it's like today, you know. And I will stress very emphatically that what I do today to stay sober is the exact same thing that I do. The formula hasn't changed. You know, I try to get to a meeting every day. If I'm not in a meeting, then I have a really good reason why I'm not there. And I do a lot of other things that day to stay sober. You know, I've gone through the steps. I remain sponsorable, which to me means that I remain teachable. I don't know everything. I want to say also that I am not by any means, just because I'm sitting up here, some guru. I don't have this thing. I don't, like, know. I'm not perfect. I just... You know, I'm one of the guys, it's my turn, I'm trying to carry the message the best I can, and I'm trying to stay sober today myself, you know, and this is how I do it. You know, so I show up for AA whenever I'm asked to. I make phone calls to other alcoholics a day. I have service commitments, I have a home group, and, you know, I try to practice these principles in all my affairs. I do not always succeed. But when someone once told me that, like, we're trying here. That's all we're asked to do, is just to try. You know, we don't have to worry about the results. We just have to try. And then we get the freedom from trying, you know. Like, that's, like, I don't know where else that happens, you know. And I'm really grateful that I'm involved in a fellowship like that, and that I can get freedom from just trying, you know, the effort. You know, I want to come up with all these reasons why I drank or why I did what I did. I will also say that, you know, other substances are a huge part of my story. I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous. I have alcoholism. I'm going to focus on alcohol. But I will say that when I got here, I had no idea what an alcoholic was. I had such fixed ideas of what alcoholics looked like, about what alcoholics did, and I didn't think I was one of them, you know? But the longer I stayed, the more I realized, like, wait a minute, this is a mental illness, and I have that, you know. And it was through the identification process of listening, just like we are here tonight, of other people and what they did and what they do. And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds like I got that thing. So it really didn't matter what I was doing out there. The fact is, like, what am I doing today? What am I doing here right now? You know. And so for me, like, in AA, that's what I focus on. So. You know, I'll share that, like, grew up just north of the city, came from, like, a really loving home. For some reason, I was, like, I never felt that I was, like, loved the right way. My parents, like, gave me everything that I possibly could have needed and a lot of what I wanted. But I always felt like there was just some disconnect. There was some separation, you know. And I carried that with me into the world with other people. You know, my social skills were... You know, I had friends, but I just felt separate, different, and alone a lot of the time, you know. So when we started drinking, it wasn't like this monumental thing. Like, you know, my dad had owned a bar and I had tried like sip like alcohol there like sneakily as a kid growing up a couple of times. But I do remember like stealing the liquor, like hiding it, and then like bringing it out to my friends and be feeling really cool that like I was the guy that was able to supply the booze, you know. And I did that for a little while, but then that booze ran out and we had to find other places to get it. So we had older brothers, friends of older brothers, whatever. We did that. And it was really fun. You know, it was really fun, and it acted as that, like, it was that, the separation was lifted. I felt connected. I felt a whole. I felt part of something bigger than me, and I felt okay. You know, and soon after this experience of like the early phases of like social drinking began, I started to make this connection that when I drank, I put on this cloak of invincibility. You know, I was pretty much invincible if I was under the influence of alcohol. You know, there was nothing could touch me, you know. And it's funny because what starts out as a cloak of invincibility winds up becoming a cloak of invisibility. You know, because the longer I do this thing, the more I fade away, you know. And for me, that's exactly what happened. You know, I started out the party. That's what it was. It was partying, you know. And the longer I did it, the party, it was just me. I was by myself. This disease wants me alone and separate and different. All of the things that I felt as a kid growing up. Isn't that weird? So what happened? You know, I was really willful. You know, I was really willful, and I managed to kind of keep all the whatever balls in the air, juggle. I mean, I'm not into the circus. I don't really know what the correct terminology is, but I kept it all going. You know, I made it look really good. You know, and if someone would have been like, oh, Noah, he's got his act together and whatever. And the truth is that I thought I did. I really thought I did. And I remember having to like work like three jobs just to maintain this lifestyle that I was trying to lead, which was like partying all the time with my friends, not really taking life too seriously, and trying to have a good time. You know, I felt that life normally was not good enough. You know, I needed to enhance it a little bit. You know, so that's kind of like that next phase. Like, I needed just to enhance life a little bit more. Sobriety was not cool. It wasn't like, it did not feel like it was my normal state, the way I was meant to be here. You know, and that's how this, like, next phase kind of went. And then one day, there was a line, I guess, drawn in the sand, and I crossed it. And I don't know exactly when or why or how it happened, but there became a point when I was like, I was waking up in the morning, going to work so that I could make enough money to go out and use the way I wanted to. And then one day I woke up and I had to use to wake up to go to work, to go out and make money and do whatever else. And when that switch happened, like I never went back the other way. And I don't know exactly when it happened or how it happened or why it happened, but once it did, I felt like I'd become pickled, like it talks about like in our literature. But I didn't know that at the time. You know, I still didn't think I had a problem. You know, I pulled a couple of geographics. I had some toxic relationships. I started to see that maybe my way wasn't working out so well. So I was given an opportunity. My parents started catching on a little bit to what was going on. They kind of had an idea. There's alcoholism in my family on both sides. And like the red flag started coming up that like maybe I'm not all right. I was running out of money all the time. You know, I was moving around a lot. I was in this really toxic relationship. And I guess my, you know, people could start seeing that like it wasn't all good. So I was in California, and I was getting evicted from an apartment, and I was living with this girl that I really shouldn't have been living with, and doing some things that I really shouldn't have been doing. And my family was like, well, the only way we're sending you a plane ticket is if you come back and go to treatment. Like, something's up. And I was like, whatever, fine, I will. I went. I should probably mention that, like, also, you know, I skated by a lot. I got away scot-free. There were never really any consequences to whatever it was that I was doing. You know, I'd get pulled over and I would be drunk, and somehow, some way, I would get off. You know, there would be fights, and I would always like just miss like all of like the brutal carnage or whatever. Like I always got off. You know, I always got by, and then slowly but surely the consequences started piling up for me. And for me, I'm the type of guy that I need consequences. If I don't have consequences, I'm not going to change. If I don't experience pain to some degree, I'm not going to change. You know. And so that's what was starting to happen. I had gotten arrested the summer beforehand. You know, now I'm in treatment. I'm not showing up to treatment and you know, providing clean urine. You know, like, I'm not passing the program. Now they want me to go to inpatient. I get out of inpatient. I thought I was, like, Mr. Rehab. You know, I had done the 28 days, and I thought, like, I did the deal, and, like, I got sobriety now. You know, I thought that AA was, like, an outpatient program, you know, that you go to when you get out of rehab for a little while and then you're good. Like that, I had such finite, limited ideas about the world, and especially about like myself and my own recovery. So what happened? Well, what do you think happened? I didn't do anything. I didn't take any of the suggestions. I went to my first meeting outside of rehab high, you know? And so I you know, like I was sharing with someone before the meeting, 3 months later, I was living out of my car. You know, that's what had to happen for me. You know, my parents kept giving me like a little bit more, like, come on, you just get your act together. And I threw them the peace sign. And that's how I had to roll, because I didn't know anything else. I needed to keep doing what I was doing. That's just where I was at. And so, like, you know, life kept getting smaller and smaller, and I was getting arrested more and more for doing all kinds of crazy things. And my disease was like, the pressure in my chest was just filling up. I could barely breathe. I mean, that's really how I could best explain it, you know. The pressure to like live life on life's terms, like we talk about it here, it didn't seem like it was worth it, you know. And so, you know, I was finally backed into this corner where I felt like I didn't know what else to do. And my family was like, you know, they'd already done a couple of interventions. I was living, you know, on people's couches, out of my car, in hotel rooms. It was really dark and bleak and miserable and just completely unmanageable. You know, like the page 52, the bedevilments in the big book, it really talks about like what my life had become, you know. And if you're not really sure like what a spiritual malady is or what life looks like when it's really unmanageable, you can have a pretty good idea from that page. So I went to this treatment facility, and I went to a 28-day program first, and then from there I went to a 90-day program. And of course I didn't really want to be there. Of course I wasn't ready to get sober. Of course I still had reservations, and I thought I could do it my own way. And of course, you know, I had no idea really what was going on, actually, because I was so like far gone for so long that my concept of reality was so skewed. I didn't know which way was up. You know what I mean? So I don't really know exactly what happened. You know, like I always like listen for people's stories when they talk about like the what happened part and like that moment of surrender. For me, it's like I've had many moments of surrender. Surrender is something that needs to keep happening in my life, because my ego grows back and it tells me that I think I know what I want or need, and I'm set right off course again. You know, and that started to happen to me while I was at this treatment facility. You know, I was like, oh, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back and get the girlfriend back, this girlfriend that I couldn't wait to get away from, you know, a few months earlier. I'm going to go get her back. I'm going to go back to get my car back. What, my mobile vehicle? I mean, my mobile home? I mean, like, you know, like, I'm going to get the job that I couldn't hold down. I'm going to go back to my parents' house that I can't stand. And I'm going to get the job that I can't even show up for, right? These are all the things that I think I want or need that will fix me, right? And they were like, no, you're going to a halfway house. And I was like, what? I was like, what, are you kidding me? But the truth is that, like, that's what I needed. I needed to do it someone else's way. You know, my life was unmanageable. I needed new management. You know, and so I kind of let this program kind of manage my life. All right, go to a treatment. Oh, you know what? Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know what's best for me, right? So I did. I went there. I started making outside meetings. I felt like a fish out of water. I was so, I was, I like, oh my God. Coming to AA for the first time sober and like trying to like fit in around, it was very hard for me. You know, I didn't have social skills. I didn't grow up, you know, I grew up like under the influence. I wasn't equipped to deal with life. You know, and so even in an environment like this where it's all supposed to be love, I felt like there was so much judgment and fear. You know, so if anybody's here tonight that's new and they're experiencing that welcome, it's okay. Like, I was right there with you. The most important thing is that you just keep coming, because it will get better. It does not stay that way. The most important thing, the most memorable mantra that I can kind of like think about on a daily basis is that everything is temporary. Nothing is permanent. However, left to my own devices, my brain will convince me that everything is permanent. Every state of being, every feeling, every emotion, every thought, every relationship, everything in life is permanent. And if it's not this way, if it's not perfect right now, then it will never be perfect. And I will always be doomed. And like, this is just the sick, crazy thinking that we get into, or at least that I get into, you know? Well, what really happened? I'll tell you what happened then. I kept coming. I kept coming. And thank God that I was in this place, because I don't know what would have happened if I didn't have that consequence looming over my head, that if I don't show up sober to this place to check in at night, that I'll be back on the street again. And so that kept me kind of in the loop for a while. I would make two meetings a day. I had a sponsor right from the get-go. I got right into the steps, you know. And wouldn't you know, I started to experience some freedom. I started to feel a little bit better in my own skin without a drink or a drug. I mean, it's mind-boggling sometimes, really. You know, I feel like I have a zest for life today that can only be described as God-given. Because I've lived 26 years on this earth and never experienced anything like this, you know. And now, for the past, you know, couple of years, it's been amazing. I feel okay today, you know. And when I don't feel okay, because I don't feel all okay all of the time, I know how to become okay again, because this program provides tools so that we can do that, you know. I went through the steps, and I had a spiritual experience. You know, I changed. I was not the same person that I was when I first walked in, 5 months sober, out of my mind, you know. I had a lot of old ideas. I had a lot of old ideas, fixed ideas about how the world should operate, you know, and I had to get rid of them. But I couldn't do that on my own power. I had to have the program's help. You know, I had to have this, like, structure in my life. I'm so lazy, undisciplined, and delusional and selfish that, like, left to my own devices, I'm not in good shape, you know. So I need a sponsor, and I need to go through these steps. I need to have a spiritual experience. I need to have a change in my attitudes and my behaviors that this program provided for me. And so that's what it did. I started to change, and I started feeling better with who I am, you know. And like I said, it's not a perfect, like, thing that you're done. You do it and then you're done and that's it. Like, I'm experiencing things today that I was like, wow, where'd this come from? You know, like, I realize sometimes I hate myself, you know, and I have like a lot of, I was talking to someone before the meeting too, like, I'll have a lot of self-doubt, you know, and fear is like still, but you know what? I have tools for that. I don't have to stay that way, you know, and it's my choice, because now I know I don't have to stay that way. So what am I going to choose? Am I going to stay and sit on the train and just say, okay, with my headphones on, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to stay. I'm going to think about this, because I'm going to think about this thing with this thing that's broken called my mind. And, you know, or am I going to like try and like change, like move a muscle, change a thought, and like try and like to switch it. And take out the pen and paper, do some inventory, call my sponsor, reach out to someone else. You know, think about someone else, perhaps. That's a novel concept, right? And that's what I do. I mean, and the funny thing is that it works. I wouldn't be sitting up here if it didn't. I would be somewhere with a bottle in my hand or a needle in my arm. I promise you that's where I'd be. But the fact of the matter is that I'm a different person today. And it's not because I'm the man, or it's not because I'm cool. It's because I knew my life was in danger, and I did what other people told me to do that I believed had the same experience that I did. And that's really what we do here, right? We come here, we share experience, strength, and hope, and we try and help each other. And that's what was given to me when I got here, and I'm so grateful that I was given the opportunity to go through the steps with someone, and that when I got a little crunchy, a little disconnected, you know, like I said, when I got here, like I was pretty out of my mind, you know, and so I got to the point where I was like, maybe I need to do another fourth step. Maybe my first fourth step was not as thorough as I would have liked it to have been. And I didn't really know what a resentment was. You know, I wasn't really in touch with all of my fear and like who I hurt and how I hurt them. You know, I didn't know how I operated in the world. I had very little self-awareness. I still have very little self-awareness. I'm slowly beginning to understand, like, what goes on in my life, you know? Like, what goes on, really, you know? So I was given the opportunity to go through the steps again, which was amazing. It was transformative, you know? And you know, this second time going through the steps, it was really simple. It was really clear-cut. I had very short amount of time to do some of the work, which I'm really grateful for, because I was in a lot of pain and I needed to have some freedom from that. But like I said at the beginning, you know, it's all back to the basics. I just keep it really simple today. If I want to have a new experience and an open mind, then I need to try new things, you know, and I need to keep practicing the same thing. I need to do the same thing yesterday that I did today. I need to do the same thing today that I did yesterday, you know, in the hopes of staying sober for tomorrow. And with that, I'd love to hear from you guys. Thank you.